Okay. Right, I guess we're all here then. Apologies for the delay, it's like technical hitch, I suppose. My name's Nick Whiteleg. I basically run the Freemap site. The Freemap site, as you'll see during this talk, basically aims to present OpenStreetMap data for UK users of the countryside. So that's basically walkers, cyclists, horse riders, and so on. So it offers some things over and above the basic OpenStreetMap website. Okay, might just pull the door to because it's a bit easy. Okay, so basically I've got a slideshow. As well as the slideshow, I also want to demonstrate some aspects of the Freemap site. I've also got a few paper props as well, which you can look at a bit later on. Those paper props are basically Ordnance Survey maps and also one or two maps of Canada and the United States for comparison. Right, okay, so first of all, I just want to introduce what Freemap is. Now, I am going to demonstrate Freemap a bit later on. I think I'll demonstrate it a bit later on at a more relevant point, because otherwise I'm going to be constantly flipping between the presentation and the website. So Freemap is basically a free online mapping service for the UK countryside. Now, I say UK, it is only the UK at the moment, but there's nothing really to stop someone from, say, Germany taking my code and then tweaking a few things to get it working for the German countryside as well. So technically, it could be used anywhere in the world with a bit of configuration. So basically, it shows... feel free to come in. Sorry, I just shut the door because it was a bit noisy, that's all. So basically, it shows roads and paths, as well as main landscape features, things like hills and lakes, ponds, streams, etc. And they're all sourced from OpenStreetMap. So it is basically a renderer of OpenStreetMap data. It's not something separate to OpenStreetMap. It's basically an alternative renderer of OpenStreetMap data. Interestingly, it also shows SRTM contours from NASA. So unlike the main OpenStreetMap site, it also shows actual contours at 50-foot intervals. And that's particularly useful, as you'll see later on, obviously if you're in a hilly area like the Lake District, where contours are pretty essential for navigation. It aims to be interactive, as you'll see in the demo a bit later on. And it's available at this URL here. So if you want to take down the URL, it's www.free-map.org.uk. I'll just give you a moment to copy that down if you want to.
I'll just make a point. Does it have problems on different platforms using that website? Because I had some problems on IE.
Okay, yeah, there is a slight caveat at the moment because I suppose I do most of my development on this on a Linux machine. It's basically Firefox is the best browser to use at the moment. So I'm not sort of like leaving IE people out in the cold. It's more awkward for me to test on any IE than it is Firefox. So making sure it works properly with IE is definitely on the to-do list. So, apologies for that. Sorry about the lack of IE support at the moment. It's probably just correcting a few bugs, but do use Firefox just for the moment. Okay. Right, okay, first of all, I want to talk about how I got into all this sort of free mapping stuff, just for a bit of interest. This is a map, it's a sketch map, basically of a long distance walk that I did from West Sussex, down very close to the south coast, to Edale, which is very near here. So what I essentially did was walk more or less from the south coast to here. So you can see sort of the route I did, basically just over Cotswolds, Malverns, etc. Now, the important thing here is, really, basically, a number of years ago now, I did this long-distance walk. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to write it up on the web and illustrate it with extracts of Ordnance Survey map. So say I walked for 15 miles a day, I might want to illustrate that with 15 Ordnance Survey OpenStreet Ordnance Survey extracts per day. Now, this was about a 30-day walk in total, so you can see that would come to 15 times 30, which is 450 ordnance survey extracts, and that would cost one hell of a lot of money. So basically, my motivation to getting into this idea of free countryside mapping was the fact that it was very expensive to use ordnance survey map extracts on the web. So basically, because of that, I developed my own GPS-based mapping solution due to the copyright issues with copying ordnance survey maps. And originally, FreeMap was its own project. It actually originally had nothing to do with OpenStreetMap. The very first FreeMap walk I did was actually slightly predated OSM. It was actually the 21st of March 2004. And originally FreeMap was its own project, but then I found out about OpenStreetMap and basically just decided to sort of join forces and donate all my data to OpenStreetMap. So how FreeMap works now is it runs off planet.osm. Is everyone familiar with what planet.osm is?
No.
Okay. Basically, OpenStreetMap exports its data every week as an XML file. So every week, the current state of the OpenStreetMap database is made available as a very large XML data file. So what happens is that every week I download this data file from the OpenStreetMap server. It's basically a file of all the data in OpenStreetMap. And what I then do is I then read that data file and then fill my own database with it. So I've got my own copy of the OpenStreetMap database on the FreeMap server. So it's actually separate to the main OpenStreetMap server. And the reason why that is because it's just basically to avoid undue load on the OpenStreetMap server itself. So basically, I use my own copy of the database to render FreeMap maps, which are separate, which have a different style to the main OpenStreetMap maps, as you'll see a bit later on. The maps are actually rendered with something called Mapnik. Can't see Artemin here at the moment, but suffice to say, the guy who developed Mapnik is around. He's probably in the other room at the moment. Mapnik is rendering software. It basically, it's a software which makes it easy to draw maps from either Postgres databases or shapefiles. And what you can do with Mapnik is basically you can define how you want to translate the database to a visual map. So you can do things like in the Mapnik style sheet, you can define, I want a highway footway as a red dotted line, I want a highway bridleway as a red dashed line, and I want a highway byway as a solid red line. So basically Mapnik is a rendering system which makes it very easy to develop online maps. So like the main, or one of the main OpenStreetMap maps, FreeMap actually uses Mapnik. The contours, which you'll see again when I demonstrate it, are converted from the raw NASA SRTM binary format into a shapefile, shapefile being one of the standard sort of GIS formats, and again, that's rendered using Mapnik. Okay, I think that's probably enough, probably about time for me to actually demonstrate it to you now. I mean, there's more slides to go through, but I think it's about time you actually saw some practice. Oh dear. Grant assured me we had internet in here. Right. Okay. So I'm now going to talk about some of the interesting things that FreeMap actually offers. Landscape features, first of all. Well, a useful countryside map needs to have landscape features as well as the footpaths and so on, such as woods and lakes. So obviously woods and lakes are rather challenging to actually survey because it's a bit tricky to walk all the way around a wood or walk all the way around a lake. Because I'm sure you can appreciate that if you try to walk all the way around a wood, you'd probably end up having to cross barbed wire fences and wind up some landowner because you were trespassing on his private land. That is true, because once I was actually, I wasn't trespassing, I was actually following a legit footpath outside Winchester, and there was an electric fence, and I went to the landowner to complain, and then some guy came out brandishing a gun, and he wasn't actually really going to use it, but you know, I think it was just one of the loonies from the Richard Fairhurst snap problem. I think it was he. It was sort of fairly near one of those areas of high loony concentration. anyway. So basically, I'm sure you can appreciate that woods and lakes can't really be surveyed by walking around them. So what I've done instead is we can use some non-copyright source data for that. We've got Landsat being basically satellite photos from NASA. So we can connect to the Landsat server, and you can do this in JOSM. I guess you're all familiar with JOSM. Yeah. It's an editor, basically. So it's a piece of editing software for OpenStreetMap. So if you want to put a new road into OpenStreetMap, you download the JOSM software, load up the JOSM software, and then edit the existing map. So it's basically the editor. So in JOSM, the editor for OpenStreetMap, you can download Landsat satellite photography, and then you can trace round woods or lakes or heaths using the Landsat. The alternative source you can use, which again you can use in JOSM, is the out of copyright Ordnance Survey maps, the so-called New Popular Edition. They date from the 40s and the 50s, so they're 50 to 60 years old now. So you can download from JOSM, you can download the out of copyright New Popular Edition maps, and then again you can trace around a wood or trace around a lake. And when we go to the Lake District, we'll have to move next door at the end, as I said. I'll show you the Lake District, and you can see there are lots of lakes there, obviously, which have been drawn using a New Popular Edition by Steve there. Okay, so lakes and woods are relatively straightforward. We can get them into OpenStreetMap and therefore into FreeMap fairly easily.
Can I make a quick point here?
Yeah.
You do need to be careful that you're quality controlling what you're taking from the out-copyright maps.
Yeah.
Particularly woods have changed a lot. We even found a lake, didn't we, in the Lake District that we've taken from the out-copyright map, which is actually dried up and isn't even there anymore. It's certainly true that you need to field check the theory.
Yes, that is true, yeah.
The area I'm living in, there's actually probably twice as many trees now as there were in the 40s.
Because I've noticed that from time to time, like sometimes the boundaries of some of these copses aren't quite the same as you know, the 50s maps.
How easy is it to change from an aerial
photography? Pretty easy. It's satellite photography, it's not low-level aerial photography, but you can generally see where a wood is. Sometimes it has to be said it's ambiguous, because sometimes fields show up a darker shade of green. So generally you can. It's fairly good in general. It's not perfect, but you can normally detect where the woods are. It's better in areas where it's mostly fields with just a few woods. If there's a lot of woods and a lot of fields, sometimes it becomes a little indistinct. So it's not perfect, it has to be said, but it's basically the best we've got at the moment. It could be that Yahoo, the much higher resolution Yahoo maps do provide satellite or aerial photographs of rural areas. They don't yet. They're just on cities at the moment. But that's a possible thing that could happen in the future.
Isn't one of the Landsat products actually infrared satellite photography? It actually tells you exactly what crops are growing, and we don't have access to that at the moment.
Oh right. Okay.
One of the points of Landsat was to test what vegetation is.
So oh right. Okay. Wasn't actually. Okay, that's interesting. Maybe, that's who I'm looking for. Yeah, so that's an interesting point. There could be this Landsat infrared coverage where you can detect whether it's trees or grass or whatever. So that'd be another thing worth looking into.
I keep making points too.
Yeah, that's
one
fine, yeah.
That
yeah, it's a fairly open session. So
the top latch editor is you've got the ability to have the aerial photography layer there. You can also have it greyed out. One of the things I'd like to be able to see someone, I haven't got the skills to do it because I can't do it, but someone to develop for JOSM is the ability to have both the Landsat and the New Popular Edition both loaded and have a slider to switch between them so you can actually use them at the same time in conjunction.
Yeah.
Sometimes actually putting the two in place to actually be able to make decisions.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't be too much until once the tiles are loaded, just a slider that switches between them.
Yeah.
The parents away.
Yeah, no, that sounds a good idea, yeah. Right. Okay, now some of these I think will be possibly best illustrated when we move next door, but I just want to go through some of the advantages of free mapping versus other mapping providers with specific reference to the Ordnance Survey, it has to be said. I'm not trying to tear the Ordnance Survey to pieces, I'm just trying to sort of mention some of the advantages of OSM, sort of more free mapping. So first advantage is the fairly general advantage of OSM, which should need hopefully little introduction. Obviously OSM is essentially wiki mapping, where anyone can add, edit or delete to the map. So that means that the maps are potentially constantly updated. So say a footpath changed course, say someone built some new housing estate somewhere and a footpath had to be diverted around the housing estate. Now, it could be that someone surveys the footpath, puts it on in OSM, and then a year later the housing estate's built, and someone can come along a year later, see the footpath is no longer as it was, so then they can just load up JOSM or Potlatch, one of the editors, and then they can just edit the footpath and sort of make it fit around the housing estate, which they could also separately survey. So, obviously, the OSM mapping in general, OpenStreetMap in general, is freely editable, and that means that very up-to-date maps of the countryside can be developed.
Excuse me, will you be able to find, like in a few years' time, maps from like today and see like a change in OpenStreetMap?
Yes, because the revisions, you know, the history is kept on the OSM service, so that means you could quite easily roll back to a previous date, or you could certainly write software to do that. Because it keeps track of the revisions, so like Wikipedia and wikis in general, it does keep track of the revisions.
But what you get then is what OpenStreetMap looked 2 years ago. That is not necessarily an up-to-date view of what the world looked like 2 years ago. And I think that's a future issue for OpenStreetMap. If I, in 2009, find out that the OpenStreetMap of 2007 actually represents the world of 2006, and I want to correct that because I know this road was rebuilt already in 2007, whether I can go back and edit that history.
Yeah,
so
do that.
There's something to think of for the next 2 years.
Yeah,
it's not an issue yet, no. But it could be.
Right, I want to focus now more on some of the specific countryside issues, really. So the advantage I want to talk about now is clearer representation of paths. Now, so I'm going to illustrate that when we move next door. Now, one of the things about Ordnance Survey maps, and I've got a couple of Ordnance Survey maps as props, so to speak, basically they focus on the official rights of way, as in the legal rights of way, the paths which are legal footpaths, because then for those of you who are not from the UK, basically in England and Wales, there are certain paths which are legal rights of way. Sort of, the law says that this is a right of way. So the path up, say, Helvellyn, which is one of the highest mountains in England, is an example of that. But there are other footpaths which are clear paths on the ground. You can see them very easily. You can walk along them without fear of trespass or anything, because they're basically, you can walk along them by permission of the landowner, so to speak, or just through common use. They are not official rights of way, but nonetheless, you can still use them. Now, in many areas, like the Lake District, for example, where a number of us have been recently, it turns out that the unofficial paths are actually often clearer than the official rights of way, because in some areas the official rights of way have become, you know, overgrown, or they don't even seem to apparently exist on the ground. You know, in the Lake District they might just go through bogs and off crags and so on. So in many areas the unofficial paths very much play second fiddle to the official rights of way, and that certainly on an Ordnance Survey map that is the case. Now in FreeMap, in fact, in OpenStreetMap in general, people generally tend to survey any path that's visible on the ground. So any path that's visible on the ground will go into OpenStreetMap. And FreeMap has chosen to render or show footpaths which are unofficial, as well as footpaths which are official, in both in strong colours. They are different colours so that Freemap can continue to indicate which are legal rights of way, but nonetheless the idea of Freemap is to try and show the unofficial rights of way and in strong colours, just like the official rights of way. And that's actually typical of some overseas mapping, and again I've brought in a map from the San Gabriel Mountains outside LA and a map of the mountains outside Vancouver, which also show, basically they don't have official rights of way as such, but they show the paths in strong colours to make them stand out. Okay. Another thing you'll also see, another point I want to make here, also no absolute distinction between permissive and private paths. Now if you look at an ordnance survey map, any path that's not a right of way will be shown in little black dots. Now those little black dots are very insignificant and you can't really see them very clearly, but furthermore it makes no attempt to distinguish between which are okay to walk along and which are completely private and you're likely to get into trouble with the landowner if you walk along them. So what that's really, that is one of the big problems with ordnance survey maps. They really don't show you very clearly exactly what paths you can walk along either as a legal right or permissively. And that, as a walker, certainly I really want to know exactly where I can walk, what paths are okay, either by law or by permission, or what paths are definitely not okay.
Can I just make a comment about the this whole notion in the UK of legal rights of way?
Yep.
They're all actually documented on these things called definitive maps. Have you come across those?
Yeah.
And you can go and have a look at them. They're normally housed in your local council.
Yeah.
And the one in Calderdale in particular is quite funny because it's actually drawn on top of old 1960s OS maps because the council haven't then shelled it for the new ones.
Yeah.
There is legislation
yeah.
in the UK which says that no new rights of way can be put on those maps after 2012.
Right.
They're effectively going to seal those maps off.
Yeah.
And one thing that is kind of, you were talking about how official rights of way have almost becoming unused, whereas
yes, not in general, but certainly in the Lake District, yeah. That's the case.
There is a danger that actually rights of way that are there will literally disappear.
Yeah.
And
I think that's
what we're trying to do in Calderdale is actually get people to adopt paths to use them.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is we're using a combination of the definitive map.
Yes.
That's housed in the council. And,
yeah.
And hopefully OpenStreetMap to start to say, look. These
yeah.
need walking
yes.
people to maintain.
Okay. So do you actually work for Calderdale County
no,
Council?
No.
Right, okay.
No, so I'm part of a walking action group in Hedley
Bridge. Oh, right, okay.
What we're trying to do is, see.
Now, we could come on to this. There's actually a slide a bit later on which talks about this. So maybe if we could maybe talk about this a bit more in a few slides' time, because there's a problem that I want to talk about, and this very much relates to this topic. So, no, it's absolutely fine. No, don't worry about it. But I just thought that when we come to that slide, we could discuss it more because it would be specifically relating to a particular point. But that's fine. So basically, the point I wanted to make here was that the ordnance survey maps don't show the unofficial paths very clearly, and they don't distinguish between unofficial paths and private paths where you're likely to get into trouble if you walk along. So the Lake District is a good example of that. I'll show you that with the live props later on, so I won't dwell on that for the moment. The other thing about OpenStreetMap in general is because of the flexible tagging scheme, you're not restricted to just making maps of, say, orthodox footpaths. You could make maps of all sorts of interesting things in the countryside if you wanted to. And one example of this could be scrambling routes. Now, a colleague of mine who also came on the Lake District Mapping Week the other week, Neville, what he did on the Sunday was he went up a scrambling route called Jack's Rake. Now that's not really a footpath, it's more a route where you scramble up rocks. But nonetheless, those sorts of things arguably should be on a map because people want to do that sort of thing. So one of the things about OpenStreetMap in general is you can survey these sorts of things. There's no ordnance survey telling you what you can and cannot do. You know, basically, the whole idea of the OSM concept is to produce interesting new maps of new things. So scrambling routes is one thing, and also recommended routes across open country. Because if you go to, say, Scotland, I mean, in the Lake District, generally there are paths all over the place, but in Scotland, often you're walking across open country, like, you know, one of the routes up Ben Nevis isn't really a footpath, like the so-called Carnmore Durgaret. I don't know whether any of you have heard of that. No? But suffice to say, basically, it's a route which people follow, but there's no real path on the ground. And again, one of the things, the flexibility of OpenStreetMap allows you to construct maps of sort of recommended routes up a mountain, say, where there's no path, but nonetheless they avoid danger. So you want people to, you know, recommend they go that way rather than fall off a cliff or something. So in general, the whole sort of flexible nature of the OpenStreetMap tagging scheme, where people can choose their own tags on top of the standard tags, means that you can create all sorts of interesting maps of the countryside showing slightly unorthodox things. That last thing about custom tags, I think that's on the next slide. Yes, it is. Now I want to talk about, again, some of the things you can do with custom tagging. The default Freemap maps, which you'll see in a moment, basically show all paths of a particular class in the same way. For example, permissive bridleways. Now, a permissive bridleway is a route which walkers and horse riders can go along, but it's not an official right of way. So basically, the landowner has declared that walkers and horse riders can go along this path at their discretion, so to speak. And in the New Forest, the landowner is the Forestry Commission, and what they've done, even though the New Forest paths are not rights of way as such, they have said that all the paths in the New Forest basically can be used by walkers and by horse riders. Now, if you look at the Freemap map of the New Forest, and indeed the main OpenStreetMap map of the New Forest, you will see that all the routes in the New Forest are just in dashed purple, apart from the cycleways, which are in dashed blue. Now, in the New Forest, which is, I mean, probably not many of you are familiar with what the New Forest is, but basically it's an area in the south of England, very near where I live. It's like a mixture of woods and heaths, and there are paths all over the place. So there are like hundreds and hundreds of paths, and you can more or less walk where you like. Now, in the New Forest, it's not so much whether it's a bridleway or whatever that's the important thing for navigation. Because in the New Forest, everything is a bridleway, so that's kind of not that useful for navigation. In the New Forest, what's more useful for navigation is whether it's a stone track, a mud track, a path, or a very narrow grass path. So what you can do, what OpenStreetMap in general allows you to do, is to tag things like the New Forest paths with custom tagging. So in addition to the standard map features tags, you can invent your own tags. And what I've done for the New Forest, and what I've started to do for the New Forest, is I've done that where if, say, in the New Forest there was a path that was narrow, a sort of a narrow and ill-defined path, we could tag it with a standard OpenStreetMap highway equals bridleway, which is a standard OpenStreetMap tag, but we could also tag it for a sort of specific New Forest tag, New Forest colon path type equals narrow. And that's like a tagging scheme specific to the New Forest, which could then be used for a New Forest specific renderer. And that's one of the things I want to do when I've got a bit more done in the New Forest, develop a custom New Forest map, which is separate from both Freemap and OpenStreetMap, which is very much geared for the specific idiosyncrasies of the New Forest. So the whole custom tagging scheme, the whole freeform tagging of OpenStreetMap, does allow us to develop several different maps specialised for different areas. Okay, so that's really the advantages. Now I want to talk about problems. Problem A, hard to survey features. Problem B, ascertaining path status, that's your point. And problem C, apathy. So if anyone does have any suggestions as to how we overcome these problems, you know, feel free to chip in at any point. Right, hard to survey features. Now I've said that paths are surveyed using GPS, standard OpenStreetMap method. Woods and lakes are surveyed using either Landsat or out of copyright new popular edition maps. But there are a number of features which would be very useful for navigation in the countryside but are not easily surveyed. I mean, what do we do, for example, about field boundaries? Now, if you look at the Ordnance Survey maps, certainly the Ordnance Survey 1 to 25,000 maps, you'll see that they show field boundaries, and they are very useful for navigation. So a map which doesn't show field boundaries is somewhat less useful for navigation, which is rather unfortunate, but unfortunately that's the state of play with FreeMap at the moment. It shows the paths, it shows contours, it shows woods, but it doesn't show field boundaries at the moment. And they are rather hard to survey, because obviously what you'd have to do is walk around the edges of every field, and again you like to wind up some landowner if you do that, and probably get mutilated by bulls or whatever. So field boundaries are a problem. The other things are rocks and crags. Again, in mountainous areas like the Lake District, rocks and crags would be very useful for sort of making sure you don't fall off a cliff, and also they're very useful for navigation in mist, making sure you don't go the wrong way in mist. Again, they're rather hard to survey, particularly if the relief is hard. You know, they're very steep and so on. It's a bit difficult to walk around them because you probably end up getting yourself in a dicey situation. So how do we get around some of these problems? Again, feel free to chip in with suggestions, but I've got one or two. Field boundaries are difficult ones. The hope is that Yahoo imagery could become available in the countryside. Now, there are small countryside areas visible in the Yahoo imagery, and the field boundaries are actually clearly visible in those, but generally those countryside areas are just the areas immediately around large cities. Now, if the Yahoo imagery was to become more widely available across the whole of the UK and potentially other parts of the world, then obviously field boundaries could be surveyed using the Yahoo imagery. The other option, which is hopefully...
Are there standard tags for field boundaries?
I don't believe there is at the moment, but it would be just a case of saying, I don't know, man-made equals field boundary or something. That's very much the least of the problems. I mean, the problems are getting the field boundaries in there to start with. I mean, inventing a tag for them is probably the most trivial thing of the whole process. But I'm sure once it's possible, someone will come up with a tag. The other option is the 1 to 25,000 Open Ordnance Survey first series, the ones with blue covers. Now, they're going out of copyright soon. Generally, their copyright dates are around 1958, so the later part of the 50s. They do show field boundaries. Again, they're somewhat out of date, but you know they are a lot better than any of the options at the moment. So once they go out of copyright, again, they could be used as a source for estimating field boundaries. And things like field boundaries, I mean, they change a bit, but they don't change as much as some other things.
I noticed that I walk in the Peak District, and there's quite a lot of few dry stone walls get knocked down. Particularly, there's some gorgeous remnants of medieval field patterns, field boundaries.
Yeah, I've seen those actually, yeah.
You can see them on the map. People put them in textbooks to illustrate, 500-year-old landscape feature. I went out and looked for some, and farmers knocked them down and turned them into a big field. It says 500 years of history gone.
So these things do change. Any other points on the field boundaries issue?
Can you just guess?
You could, but you could. I mean, what you can certainly do is mark them where they cross paths, which would help. So you could have your map annotated, and that's something going to be coming onto in a moment. So map annotations. You could annotate your map saying this path enters a field at this point. It would be very difficult to estimate fields that are way out of the way of the path, though, because some fields might be quite big and extend back for some way. No. Yeah, and that's where that is one of the issues I'm going to talk about in a moment, about other alternative ways around this issue. So yeah, you could just show the boundary as it crosses the path or something like that.
Would it maybe be possible if you did get the full 7-channel Landsat to use differential crops between two fields to at least guess to within Landsat tolerances for the boundary?
Yes, you could, yeah. I mean, the standard Landsat probably isn't quite good enough, but, maybe this infrared Landsat would be useful there. Yeah. That's another idea. Any more? Okay. Rocks and crags, again useful to have in upland areas. They are shown on the new popular edition, but it has to be said they're a bit unclear. So the new popular edition does show things like rocks and crags, but they're not terribly clear. And they're probably not, looking at them in the Lake District, pardon me, they're not probably good enough to show a real accurate representation of where the rocks and the crags actually are. Again, the 1 to 25,000 first series, they do show rocks and crags in more detail. So once they go out of copyright, they'll be more useful. Again, there are other ways around this, which I'm going to come onto in a moment. So a completely alternative approach related to your point. Basically, the idea is not to completely survey these things at all. So one option is to, of course, completely survey things like field boundaries, but one option is not to even bother surveying the whole of the field or the whole of the crag or whatever at all. So what you can do instead is just do annotations, basically annotations to guide the walker. And you'll see those in a moment when I show you the live demonstration. So the idea is rather than having to survey every field boundary, you can just annotate your map so you can just see, you know, annotate the map at an appropriate point and say, you could say go left here, you know, if it's ambiguous, you know, on the map, you could say go left here, make sure you don't go right. And then you could also do things like warn people where the steep drops are and so on. So the idea of annotating maps, sort of like guidelines, a bit like, I don't know whether any of you have seen Wainwright's fell guides to the Lake District. A bit like, you know, where, so basically you've got the path and then you have an arrow pointing to the path which tells you what to do at that point. So even though you don't have the full field boundaries, the idea is that at any point of doubt, there's an annotation which tells you what to do. And the idea is where there are no annotations, you can just assume the path is very clear to follow and there are going to be no problems. That's an alternative way of providing useful maps out of OSM data, which avoids some of the difficulties surveying things like field boundaries. As we'll see in a moment, these annotations, which are already implemented to some degree, can be edited and deleted. So they're a separate layer on top of the OpenStreetMap database. The one option would be to actually put them in the main OpenStreetMap database. Printed maps can indicate these annotations at the appropriate place. And also, annotations can also include hazards. So as well as things like just points of difficulty, annotations can include hazards. So, you know, if there's a field with sort of man-eating cows or whatever, or there's a steep drop off a mountain, then you can have an annotation to indicate those things. I am starting to run out of time a bit. Suffice to say, I'm planning on developing an API for those annotations, which is a sort of separate layer to the OpenStreetMap API, basically an application programming interface to basically allow other developers to query FreeMap and get these hazards and blockages and things like that, which they can then use in their own applications.
Presumably just going up, just thinking how you might do it. I mean, we've got an issue of a bog, it's over a distance, isn't it?
But I suppose the idea is central point, really, I suppose.
And another one where a path could go either direction, you've got the annotation related to a point, so in some cases it could be a distance in some
Yes, I mean, I suppose the general way which it works at the moment is the annotations are at a point. So, because most problems I tend to find tend to relate to either a point or you could have a point which is the midpoint of something. So, you know, if you're coming off a mountain, the point you could mark is the point where it starts to get a bit dodgy, I suppose.
I suppose if you think about it, you might remember you're walking in either direction. So the point of the beginning of the bog would be and you're going one direction, irrelevant.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I suppose you could just mark one at both ends, so to speak.
Presumably, if you come from the wrong side of the attack, it'll already be wet and muddy.
Okay, so suffice to say, I'm planning on building an API which will focus on these very much, these countryside specific things, which could be layered on top of OpenStreetMap, but also it could be layered. If the Ordnance Survey ever got their act together and did a slippy style map, it could potentially be layered on top of their maps as well. The idea with the API is also to try and build up a free database of walking routes, because there are lots of walking route databases on the internet at the moment, but a lot of them require you to sort of sign up and pay money and stuff. And one of the things I'd like to do is develop a completely free resource of walking routes with no licensing restrictions at all. On to the next problem. I've talked about the surveying problem. Thanks for some of your suggestions there. It's to do with path status. Now, legal right-of-way status, in terms of the legal, whether it's legally a right-of-way, can not always be ascertained on the ground via signposts. Many areas do have signposts, but many areas don't. And the question is, what do you do if there are no signposts? Now, one thing you can't do, in general, it's regarded as probably okay to use an ordnance survey map to plan a route, although different people have different opinions on that, but I think the general consensus, Steve, would you say it's probably okay? What you can't do is copy the status of a path from an ordnance survey map. That is basically pretty much known to be a copyright violation. So you couldn't look up an ordnance survey map, see that this is a bridleway, and then copy the bridleway status onto OpenStreetMap. That would generally be seen as a copyright violation. So therefore, because there are no signposts, there are some known inaccuracies in OpenStreetMap because of this. One example, going back to the Lake District, would be the path from Grisdale Tarn, which is sort of just below Helvellyn, to the top of Helvellyn. Now, that path is not signposted as a bridleway. It is a bridleway, I sort of know that because Ordnance Survey says it is, but because that's the only evidence that I've got, it's actually shown on OpenStreetMap as a permissive footpath. Because you have to go for if you've got no evidence on the ground, you've got to go for the lowest common denominator, which is generally a permissive, non-official footpath.
If you've seen people riding horses on that,
that would help. Yeah. Again, they may be breaking the law, but they may be sort of unofficially riding horses. But that would help. If you saw people riding horses on a regular basis, you could probably be fairly certain that it's a bridleway.
But if you've seen it on the definitive map.
That's what I want to ask. That's exactly the thing. I don't know.
And I asked the council officer.
Yes.
I said, is this information, you know, in the public domain? Is it freely available? He said,
yeah.
Yes, but I can't give you a copy of that map without you paying a license to the OS because it's drawn on.
Well, so they have copyright over the underlying data.
That's right.
So the local authority owns the
bit on.
Yeah, the blue and the red mark.
But the question is, would it be all right to look at an online version of one of these council definitive maps? Because I know some county councils like Hampshire and West Sussex do have online definitive maps. So the question that I'd like to ask, and you know, if anyone can suggest any answers to this, it would be useful, is can you look at these online versions of the definitive maps and copy the status from the online version onto OpenStreetMap?
Are we back to if the underlying layer is copyrightable then?
No, but next question.
But you're not copying the underlying layer, you're just copying the pure status. Yeah, just the status, just what the council have drawn on the top, so nothing to do with the underlying layer, just the status.
If you want somebody to look at the definitive map, create a text description of it, so if the group from Greensdale Farm to Elderly isn't on the right,
yeah. Yeah.
Text
description. Yeah, what you mean, like a guidebook or something which says right away?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
a bit of a semantic argument, really, because I would argue from the end of the world that if I have the knowledge already,
yeah,
wherever it might have come from, it's in there. I might have got it from a copyrighted source at some point in the past, but it's a piece of knowledge that I have.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone can copyright that fact.
Yeah.
But someone could argue that I might have only looked yesterday.
I mean, you know, a local hill to where I used to live called Blackdown in West Sussex, you know, probably the first time I learned of that name could have been from a copyrighted ordnance survey map, but I know that now, and obviously if they try to claim copyright on my 26-year knowledge of the name of that hill, that would be a bit...
Deja vu, I've just come from the other debate, sorry. group hop. And some of these issues were being raised there. They have finished.
Oh, right.
They're rearranging things so that the next presentation can take place.
Right.
In the other room, so perhaps it's time to wind up. Not that I'm an organiser, I'm not a lawyer.
What I was wanting people to do, maybe we could do this in the next break. What I was wanting to do was actually show you Freemap and also show you some of these issues. So, do we want? I mean, it depends what the next talk's on. How many people are keen to get to the next talk? How many people? Yeah. Because we're running a bit late because of some hardware problems, I suppose. So,
liberating GIS from the OS. I know that he tells me that he's about to start scanning and digitizing the 1950 series of OS 1-inch maps, and which are out of copyright.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's what he's going to be talking about. I suspect it is.
Right. Okay, well, I'll best finish my talk then. Basically, the final problem, which is possibly the biggest problem at the moment, is recruiting countryside mappers. So only four areas are known to have good countryside coverage. They are basically Hampshire, parts of Cheshire, parts of Northamptonshire, and parts of the Lake District. And they're basically areas where either are active countryside mappers, such as myself, such as a guy called Ben Robbins, who some of you may know, and also the Lake District is obviously from the Mapping Week. So the question is, how do you recruit people? I have actually tried this. I've gone on to sort of a news group called uk.rec.walking. I've attempted advertising on it. Unfortunately, it's led to a rather negative response. Basically, I had two rather dodgy responses, and basically they were along the lines of, basically as it says here, my village is not on the map, therefore it must be crap. And the question is, how do you get round that sort of naysaying negative attitude? Now, I think, and some of you may have different ideas here, that the best thing to do is to produce a complete map, a complete countryside map of a particular and reasonably popular area. And once that's done, and once it has some added value over and above Ordnance Survey maps, then maybe it would encourage more people to get interested in countryside mapping. And at the moment, probably the easiest, the most feasible area to get done, basically because I live down there and a lot of stuff has already been done, is probably the New Forest. So, one aim would certainly be to produce some maps of the New Forest and indeed some of the areas around Southampton on the other side towards the South Downs. I say that because it's probably the most extensive area, the easiest area in the country to get a complete map of. And then really try and add some added value over and above Ordnance Survey maps. And hopefully then, you know, it might encourage more walkers to get interested. But if anyone has got any other suggestions on the apathy issue, you know, the fact that there are loads of us sort of surveying cities, but relatively small number of us surveying the countryside, that would be good.
You could use that reaction as part of the assessment. It can be taken both ways, obviously. If my village is not on anything,
yeah. Then you should be surveying it. Well, that's what I said to them, but... you know, they just said, "Oh, the Ordnance Survey is perfectly good enough." So,
with the Walkers Action Group in Belfield,
yes,
they've started a scheme about UK towns. There's about three now who've declared themselves as walker friendly.
Yeah,
and obviously that means that there are committed people in that area. What I'm trying to do at the moment is get the two local groups to structure surveying.
Yeah.
So what they're trying to get is people to adopt paths in some way maintain them and also to maintain what's being used.
Yes.
And it's just going to be a matter of getting GPS devices on their backs as they're doing that.
Yeah.
So hopefully the Cold Valley will start to grow like a New Forest.
Okay, yeah, that'd be good, yeah.
What we're trying to do in Finland is we've been talking with a couple of Boy Scout groups.
Yeah.
Basically, the deal is that as soon as we get them GPSs, they will start doing this stuff.
Oh, that's good.
A couple of the national parks near Helsinki.
Yeah.
So. Maybe they are going around there every weekend, so.
Yeah, just trying to maybe liaise with the local groups who might be interested in this stuff.
Yeah.
So, we're in some of them. We're
right.
Very interested in
okay.
Seeing if
do we want to? Yeah.
We're interested in seeing them.
Okay, so yeah, okay, what we'll do is I'll demonstrate it at the next break in the next door room, or possibly even in the lecture room actually, because obviously no one will be giving a talk then. So apologies for the delay, it's really due to the technical issues, but hope it's been interesting nonetheless.